Today, we are giving a podcast on the role of digital asset management in your organization. I'm Connie Moore. I'm Senior Vice President of Research with Digital Clarity Group. We are a research consulting and advisory company. And I'm delighted to have as my guest, Kathy McKnight, who is the executive responsible for our consulting organization. Kathy has deep expertise in digital asset management and building assets for the organization.
Hey, Connie. Nice to be here. So yeah, I think that's a great way to start. So digital asset management, or DAM, as people call it, has been around for a long time. And really, depending on who you ask, it'll conjure up a different definition. Traditionally and historically for some, and unfortunately, I still think there's a fair number who think of this today, they really think of it as like a corporate photo album, a place to store company pictures and videos. So that place where assets go to live once all is said and done and it's completed and it's the final version. But really, there's so much more to digital asset management. Today, DAM systems can support the complete process from ideation through to archiving and everything in between. DAM is really where companies should be managing things like annotation and cataloging and storage of their digital assets. And when I say digital assets, we're talking about images, videos, music, and every permutation of those in between, right? It's where the entire process really needs to be managed for an organization. It's a core tool these days for marketing.
Does it include documents, or is that meant for some other place?
It actually can. That's a point of debate, I think, for many. So when we talk about assets and digital assets, and companies are now starting to put a value on digital assets, there's actually a monetary component to it. When you think about content marketing and the return on investment and which assets are producing the conversion from, prospect to lead to converted customer, there's actual value to be placed. So some companies are looking at all assets, including maybe not documents when we think traditional things like forms and things like that, but certainly content components of marketing assets are being lumped into digital asset management.
I see. So how you positioned DAM, it seems to me like there would be a lot of participants and stakeholders. If you think about some of the industries that really rely on this, so, they're the core ones, publishers and media, advertising, entertainment, that kind of thing. But really, any business has all these unstructured content assets. How do you coordinate all the interaction between the participants and maybe some of the higher level stakeholders? How do you hold it together? Is there a process, a design process? Or is it more of an archive free-for-all?
It's a great question, and it's interesting. I think some of those industries that you mentioned at the outset of that, they're probably ones who are using digital asset management most effectively, but it really is a tool that all organizations can leverage these days. And, you talk about, when I think about digital asset management and the entire chain of events from the idea of, okay, I need to create, let's just say, an image, and how does it get from that concept in my head through to an actual asset to be leveraged and used through different channels, that's where DAM comes into play. It starts with the creation. Many people, content creation or asset creation is done in a very manual process where somebody comes up with the idea and they're passing files back and forth via email. They may be storing them locally or on a shared drive. But what's not being tracked is the audit trail of those variations and the annotations. So, you know, that might work for if it's a one or two person process. But when you start thinking about organizations today and their marketing organization, it's no longer just an internal team even. So many of them, so many companies use external resources and a variety of different resources that may be contributing to a single asset. So being able to manage all that through a workflow, which many digital asset management systems have today, really helps keep in line the process and really know where things are at so that people are using the most recent version of the asset from a development and feedback perspective. This becomes even more important for regulated industries where they need to have an audit trail, where they have to know who's had input and the dates and the approvals and need to be able to provide that from a reporting system or a reporting perspective. So again, digital asset management has really stepped up its game in what it has to offer, but and now companies need to catch up with that and start looking at it as a real essential marketing tool to manage the entire process.
Do most of the companies that use DAM with a workflow for work management and process management, do they use the workflow available within the DAM product, or do they bring in an external business process management tool, or does it depend?
I think it depends. So there are not all digital asset management systems have a workflow built in. There are some of the, you know, the more simpler, straightforward ones where it is a more streamlined offering. And sometimes that's enough. You're a small organization, only a couple of people really working on assets. Maybe you don't need a formal workflow. But if you find that you do, there are definitely add-on tools that you can leverage to manage the asset workflow in and out. But there are many systems, digital asset management systems today that have a built-in workflow. I think that's one of the trends we're actually going to see within the digital asset management industry, is that it's going to look to maybe it's, you know, some of its technology, marketing technology counterparts like content management systems, which most have workflow, and looking to leverage and include some of the functionality that we see there into their own systems.
Do you think those two markets will merge?
You know, that's a great question. I think one of the things that we're seeing, a lot of web content management systems have what we'll call DAM Lite. They have some digital asset management components and capabilities within the system. So things like being able to have a library of assets, and it ranges from strictly a place to go within the web content management system to access those assets, to others that have where you can actually do editing within the WCM of those assets and create different versions. So there's, I do see more of those capabilities merging together. We may even find right now, I can't think of a DAM that has web content management capabilities, but I think maybe that'll be a new acquisition phase. Maybe we'll see a big DAM acquire a smaller web content management system. So where the DAM is the primary system instead of the other way around, that would be really interesting.
That would be, and there are a lot of them in play. I mean, sort of parallel to this conversation, we've seen a lot over the past couple of weeks in terms of consolidation and acquisitions. And so that is certainly a possibility. It wouldn't be surprising if it happened. I don't think a lot of people are looking for it, but it would be interesting, be a very interesting development.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think, I just posted a blog recently about the kingdom of the MarTech world and web content management and digital asset management, marketing automation, and how each of them are vying for sort of that top role or position within the marketing technology landscape. So I think we'll see some closing of the gaps, particularly when it comes to DAM.
I think so too. So listening to you talk, I think I already anticipate the answer to this question, but in your view and in your experiences working with organizations that are committed to DAM and so forth, How strategic do you think a dam is to the marketing organization and to the company at large?
I think it's a really strategic tool, and I think it's really starting to gain some much higher profile and visibility from within the marketing organization. You said at the outset that, you know, many information technology departments wouldn't know what a dam was until somebody brought it up. And I think that's still the case. It's still on the radar, mostly for asset managers and creative types within the marketing team than it is necessarily corporate-wide. But I think as content marketing continues to flourish and continues to be one of the mainstays for reaching out and customer experience and creating those customer experiences, having a tool, a system that enables marketing teams to manage their assets, know where they are, but also beyond that, from a legal perspective, organizations today pay, you know, in some cases, millions of dollars in licensing for the rights to use different images and videos and whatnot. And they need a place to be able to manage those licenses. And that's something that a digital asset management system can enable. It can allow organizations to set the restrictions and permissions from within that system so that, or such that an asset is only used within the geography for which it has a license, or within the context for which it has a license. And it can put those parameters around so there aren't the mistakes, so they're not getting the legal letters from different the different sources of their images or videos or digital assets saying, you know, you're using this beyond what your license allows, and get penalized for that. But it also allows them to know what assets they have. If they have a centralized digital asset management system that for company-wide, and I do believe that this is one of those core systems that need to be enterprise-wide, you're saving investment on not duplicating of licenses. There's organizations out there who have paid 3, 4, 5 times over for the same license because there's just no way of tracking it. When you're working with multiple agencies or even multiple internal groups, you have that risk of buying things more than once. And with a digital asset management system, that will help alleviate some of that duplication and thus, you know, saving the organization not only time, but money and litigation as well.
Yes, that certainly sounds quite strategic. And, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about how the world is changing very quickly, partly because of mobility, partly because of the millennials and the creativity that that generation has. And it's much more of a visual audio images world than it is read this and sit down and immerse yourself in text. And so just the explosion, if you will, of audio, video, still imagery is not going to just happen because of some market growth number. I think that there's some real demographic trends and technology trends that will make the numbers of assets that an organization has to manage a skyrocket. And it's going to happen very, very quickly because mobility has become so much more important than go to my website and browse and download a report. It's a different world.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we continue to try and tailor and provide context in all of our experiences that we're providing our customers, that just, you know, the exponential growth of assets needed to do that just continues to grow and grow and grow. And companies really need a way of managing all of those assets. And as new channels come online and new types of assets become the thing and change, then again, you need to be able to know what you have and where the gaps are and leverage everything that you have available to you in the most effective way.
So let me ask you our final wrap-up question. What do you think the future holds, and what should our listeners be paying a lot of attention to now?
I think when it comes to DAM, it really comes down to managing the brand, and having a digital asset management system will help companies do that. It will not only their internal resources, their branded resources, things like making sure the right logos are being used, where it's being used. That's probably one of the biggest things is understand with the digital asset management system, some of the more mature ones and enterprise level ones, you actually know where all of your assets are being leveraged. And I think a future development, and we'll see some change in capabilities in this moving forward in the coming years, is that the tracking will get much more elaborate and sophisticated. And we can know exactly not only where our assets are being used internally, so where we've placed them, but where others are placing them. We're starting to see that now. There's some great innovation going on from different organizations. And I think that's going to be one of those things that companies are really going to want to know, is exactly where all of their assets are being leveraged, and are they being used properly and within the rights.
Yes. So that gets into analytics and attribution, and a topic for a future discussion.
Absolutely.
I want to thank you so much for shedding a lot of light on this subject that might be somewhat unfamiliar to our listeners, and doing it so quickly. This was a real efficient way to learn a lot about digital asset management. So thank you. We will definitely schedule more calls about more related topics. So this is Kathy McKnight, our guest, and Connie Moore. We are both from Digital Clarity Group. We thank you for joining us for this podcast today, and we look forward to talking to you in the future.
Yes. Thanks, Connie.